Are you ready to worship this morning?
Amen.
How many of you need just be in the Lord's presence?
Every day.
Besides me.
Every day.
Well, let's do that. Let's invite him to be with us. Shall we do that?
Yes.
Glad that you are here. I want to welcome our live stream audience as well as we enter into this time of worship with prayer. Father, we exalt your holy name. You are the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You're the Prince of Peace. You're the God of all comfort. You're the Alpha, the Omega. And we praise you. We invite your Holy Spirit to be with us. Minister to our hearts today. We need you. I pray blessings on those here, those that are worshiping with us online. Pray blessings. Would you pour out yourself on us? Do what only you can do. We pray it in the strong and powerful and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Stand if you are able as we worship.
Good morning, church. I want you to be reminded that our God is alive. He's in this place with us. Do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? I see lightning, I hear thunder.
Anything is possible.
God sent his son. Alive. Let's give him a round of applause this morning. And you may be seated. Children, come forward for your children's message.
Hey, Austin. I'm getting tangled here. Oh, hey, guys. How's everybody this morning? Everybody good? Are you awake this morning? Yeah. Are you sure? All right. Well, I'm excited to be here. Are y'all excited to be here today?
Yes.
I am so excited to be here. So I got to thinking this week what I was going to talk about, and I was thinking about one of my very favorite Bible verses, and it begins like this. It says, "For God so loved the world." God loves the world. Can you imagine that? Does God love us here? Does he love people on the other side of the world? He loves the whole world. Do you think that's big love? Yeah, it is. So I got to thinking, Do you think we can measure how big God's love is for us? Do you think we can measure it? Yeah, you think we could? All right. You don't think so? So this morning, I brought several things to measure with, and maybe it can help us measure God's love, okay? So do you know what this is? Okay, what do you use a measuring cup for? You have one of these? Okay, yes. You have to measure water, or you have to measure flour or sugar if you're making a cake. You have to have the right amount, right? Yeah. Or what? Or milk? Yeah. So, would God's love fit in here? You think? Well, some of it would, right? A little bit? Yeah, but would that be all of God's love? No, that's right. It says in Psalms 23:5, it says, "My cup runneth over." His love just runs over. It never runs dry, does it? No. So we can't use this to measure God's love, right? All right. So then I've got my next thing. How about this? This is a measuring tape, right? Right. So what do you do with the measuring tape? You measure stuff. That's you have to measure. You had to measure a dresser? Yeah, we've been using this a whole lot this week. We've been measuring and working on our daughter's house. So we've been using a tape measure all the time. So I got to give it back to Billy. So, yeah. So this measure, could we measure God's love with this tape measure? No. No. It says in the Bible, it tells us that God's love is higher than the heavens. So would this tape measure go up to the heavens? No. How would we measure that? We can't, can we? No, because God's love is so big. That's right. And then the next thing I have is my watch. What does a watch measure? Time. My watch measures time. Could we use a watch to measure how long God's love will last? You think so? Is this watch going to last forever? No, but what does last forever? God's love. It never goes away. It never runs out, right? So God's love is for today. It's for tomorrow. It's for next week. It was for 3 years ago. It was for 200 years ago. It's going to be for 300 years from now. God's love is forever. God's love will last forever. For all eternity. So do you think we need to measure God's love? No, we don't. We don't have to, because we can know God's love is forever. And we can trust God, right? Because it says in His Bible, it says in His Word, the Bible, it says, "For God so loved the world." And that great love, God gave us the greatest gift of all. Do you know what that greatest gift is? His love, but He loved us so much that He gave His Son Jesus for each one of us. And is that love going to last forever? It does. That love is going to be amazing and in great big love. So can we wake up tomorrow and know that God loves us? Can we wake up in a year and know that God's love is still there? Yes. So let's remember that we don't have to measure God's love, and that His love is with us all the time. Everywhere we go, it never goes away, and that is incredible, isn't it? That's wonderful, isn't it? Yes. All right, well, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You that Your love is amazing. Lord, I thank You that You love us today, that You'll love us tomorrow, and You'll love us in the days and weeks and months ahead, Lord Jesus, and that You have always loved us, Lord Jesus, and we thank You for Your great love of sending Your Son, Jesus, the greatest gift of all, Lord. We just thank You for these boys and girls, and just bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
'Kay. Good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. The mystery of the missing tape measure has been solved. You know, I don't get in her sewing stuff. I don't know why she gets in my toolbox, but well, great to have you this morning. If you want to register your attendance through our app, that would be helpful.
I want to remind you that our Wednesday night ministry start back this Wednesday night. We have a meal from 5 to 6, and then our community groups, youth activities, and children's activities is from 6 to 7:30. You know, Larry and Brenda Harner have done a great job for us over the years, feeding us really well for a little bit of money. And inflation is kind of finally caught up with us. So we're going to have to raise our meal prices from $3 to $4. It'll be the best $4 meal on the planet, I guarantee you. For the adults, $2 for children. And if any of that creates a financial hardship, just pay what you can. So that's Wednesday night, our ministry start back. And then our Sunday night community group start next Sunday evening. There's an opportunity to still sign up through the insert in the bulletin. There's been a great response for that. So that's next Sunday night at 6 p.m. And then our men's summit is the last weekend in February. So there's opportunities to sign up for that through our app. There'll also be an insert in the bulletin next week. And I think that'll be a great time of fellowship with the men from Wiley Baptist and the men from Mount Zion Baptist. So looking forward to that. If you're able, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Well, today we are having one of our families. This is their last Sunday here. They're moving to Louisiana. Is it Baton Rouge? Bossier. Louisiana, and last Sunday with us, it's the Taylor family, and I've asked them permission to pray them out of here, so if you guys don't mind, what'd I say? Pray them out of here. I'm sorry, that didn't come out right. I didn't think you'd ever leave, but anyway, just kidding. We want to pray for you as you leave, if that makes sense. Whew, man. Aaron, do you mind bringing your family up? Emma and Jenny and Austin, I guess, went to Children's Church. Justin is at work today. So, man, we love this family. They've been with us for several years, and it's time for the next chapter in their life. So we want to pray for them. If you feel comfortable coming up and laying hands on them, let's bless them. Father, we thank you for this family. We thank you for allowing us to be part of their lives over the last several years and allowing them to be part of our lives for the last several years. And Lord, I don't know, love just kind of hurts sometimes. And when you lose people you love, it's just, there's joy there, but there's also just hurt. And so, Lord, as they leave, as you take them to the next season in their life, this next journey in their life, I just pray that you bless them. I pray, God, that they make friends quickly. I pray for the girls in Austin as they start school. I just pray, God, that there's just some kind of something supernatural there that people are attracted to who they are, and then, God, they just connect with people quickly, and that they make friends. And Lord, I just pray the same for Justin and Aaron, Lord God, as they get involved in the community. Lord, and I also pray, Father, for a church that, God, that's just highlighted that they can go to and find themselves a spiritual home as well. Lord, you've got a purpose for them. You've got a destiny for them to live out. And Lord, this next segment of that journey, Lord, I just pray that's crystal clear to them. I pray you give them wisdom. I pray that you give them boldness. Lord, maybe just supply courage if courage is needed. Lord, again, I just thank you for allowing them to be part of this fellowship, part of our lives for such a time as this. Lord, I just thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that unites our hearts. And Lord, maybe that's why it hurts, because there is this deep thing that's inside of us that unites us, and when a part is taken away, it is somewhat difficult. There's a little bit of grief there. So, but we're grateful for your love. Grateful for that unity. And Lord, provide that for them in Louisiana. Well, Jesus, we adore you. We praise you for who you are. Thank you for opportunities to pray to the Father. And we pray the prayer you taught your disciples to pray. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you. We love you. I want to remind you of our giving opportunities. We have offering boxes by the doors. You can place your offering in there. You can give electronically. If you have a prayer request, you can also drop that in the offering boxes. We'd love to pray with you. God bless.
come thy fount of every blessing to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of thy praise. Teach me something, Lord, yes, something, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure save me to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from death,
Well, good morning again. You feeling the Holy Spirit this morning? Amen. Amen. He is welcome here. I want to give a special welcome to our guests this morning. Really blessed that you are here with us. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It has a blue stripe. It says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out, and I'd love to meet you at the end of the service down at this end of the foyer and have a free gift for you and hope you feel the love of Christ in this place this morning. If you will turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, we're going to pick it up in verse 23. We normally hear these words when we have the Lord's Supper, which we had last week, but I want to read them, maybe perhaps hear them in a fresh way this morning. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I received from the Lord, this is the Apostle Paul, what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We invite your presence. We trust that you are here. Your word proclaims that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you will be there also. And so we trust that. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Memories. Christmas memories comes to my mind. We just having just passed through Christmas. How many of you it's just magical when you're a kid, yes? This Christmas is just magical. And then you get to enjoy it again with children, grandchildren, as you see them have that magical Christmas. I want you to think for just a second what your favorite memory of a Christmas gift, and it can be any time, but specifically when you were a child. Just think a minute. For me, the best Christmas gift I ever got was, I was 8 years old, and throw that up there, Lee. Ben. Yeah. My banana seat. Some of you, are those coming back? Are the banana seats coming back? Kind of, sorta. It's kind of like the flare legs. You know, they should never come back. Banana seated, and check out those grips, those tiger grips. I'm not bragging, but I was the envy of the neighborhood. I'm just saying. And if you really wanted to impress the neighbors, then you get the little streamers and you put it in the handles, you know, where they kind of got the faster you go, those babies fly out, you know. And then if you want to take it to like really the top level, you put the playing cards in the spokes. They could hear you coming too. Gifts, memories of those special times. Today we start a new sermon series, Authentic Christianity. Authentic Christianity. Now I want to make sure that this is not a call for us to judge others. This is a call for us to reflect on our own walk. Okay? Is that understood? And so a question for us to consider as we begin this series is, what does an authentic Christian look like? And again, looking at ourselves, today's message is a Christian remembers. That may sound kind of odd, but we're going to unpack that a little bit. A Christian remembers. Did you know that God's Word is full of places where God has told us to remember? And not only that, but places where he says he will remember. This reference of remembrance, you can find it at least 168 times in the Bible. I'm gonna highlight just a few of those. Genesis chapter 9, God has brought the flood upon the earth and he saved Noah and his family. And here's what he says to Noah. He says, whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures on the earth. So God is making a promise that he will remember in Genesis 9. Genesis 17, God is establishing his covenant with Abraham, which through Christ we are part of that. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and for the generations to come to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. So he makes this promise. And then we read many times, but one place is Leviticus 26. God remembers his covenant with Abraham. I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham. So God is saying he's made this covenant with us and he will remember that covenant. He does not forget. And then Moses, as he's through God's power, he's leading the nation of Israel. He's leading them out of Egypt, out of slavery. And here's what he says, Exodus 13. God said to the people, remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, from the house of slavery, for by a powerful hand the Lord brought you out from this place. Moses is saying, remember this day. Remember what the Lord has done this day. As Moses received the Ten Commandments on the mountain, and the fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I preached on some of this a few months ago. Joshua, you can find it in chapter 3, chapter 4 of Joshua. Moses has passed the torch to Joshua, and Joshua is leading the people into the promised land, and they come against the River Jordan, and it's up at flood stages, and they can't pass. And so God says, take the Ark of the Covenant, get the priests, and have them walk out into the river, and even though it's at flood stages, I will stop the water from flowing, and you will be able to walk across on dry land. It happens just as God promised. They walk across, and then God tells Joshua, take one person from each tribe, the 12 tribes, take one person, have them get a stone and stand it up in this place so that when your kids someday will say, what's up with the rocks? That's paraphrase. That's the Jeff Hatcher Revised Standard Version. What's up with the rocks, Dad? This is where God dried up the river and we crossed. Remember this day. These stones are a remembrance. Throughout Scripture, we're to remember. God's calling us to be a people of remembrance. So, I'm going to dive right in. To be an authentic Christian, church, we need to remember who we were outside of Christ. We need to remember who we are outside of Christ. Romans 3, there is no one righteous, not even one. If you thought outside of Christ you had your act together, no. No one's righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. How many? None. Zero. Outside of Christ, we're lost. We need to remember that. Romans 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I love this. The Christ appeared to John, and he wrote down Revelation. We see in Revelation 2, he's talking, he has these messages for all the churches. And this one is to the church in Ephesus. And here's what he says. Jesus says, I know your deeds, church, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men. So he's saying, you're doing good things and you don't even allow sin. You've been tested. You have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered. You have endured hardships for my name. You have not grown weary. And I think it's like Jesus is going, way to go, church. The problem is there's another verse. Yet I hold this against you, church. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. What he's saying is, that's great that you're doing all these wonderful things, but you've forgotten why. Why you're doing them. They've forgotten the height from which they had fallen outside of Christ. So I told the early service, I don't remember the exact percentage. I think it was 77%, but it was in the 70s. I read a survey a couple of years ago that they surveyed church professing Christians that go to church. And they said, how do you get to heaven? And it was in the, I think it was 77%, but it was in the 70s. And 70-something percent said, you lead a good life. Is this on? If you are in the sound of my voice this morning, this is Greek, so hang on to your chairs now. No. No. That's not it. No. The good life is the fruit of what Christ has done for us. The good works don't get us there. Remember the height from which we've fallen. Remember who we are outside of Christ. No one is without sin. There's no one who does good, not even one. Old Testament tells us that our best attempts at righteousness are but filthy rags to the Lord. We must understand, we must remember who we are outside of Christ. Secondly, an authentic Christian remembers what Christ has done for them. Romans 5, you see at just the right time, when we were really, really good. Oh, wait, no, that's not what it says. When we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We must understand who we are outside of Christ, and when we must know what Christ has done for us, what he has accomplished for us. I want to ask you to do something, just an experiment. I'm not going to make rabbit ears behind your head, but I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second and just kind of be reflective of what I say here. Bow your head, close your eyes, just ask the Lord to remind you of a special time that you had with him. Just a moment, perhaps, or a season when God just was really, really close to you and you were really close to him. Amen. Remember. Now, I was told early service that you may not have, for me, I have a specific moment, but not all of us will have a specific moment. Cheryl and I didn't get permission to say this, but I've said it before, and I get in trouble all the time anyway, so. Cheryl, a few years ago, she worried that, because she didn't have that moment like me, that she's just always known that God loves her from a little child. And I told her that some people, Cheryl, like you, just God just gives you a gentle rain of his grace and his mercy. For me, it took a thunderstorm. And so each one of us, our experience is different. But for me, that special moment was on a walk to Emmaus. And I remember I was in a service on this weekend, and I was not a pastor, but I was a leader in my church, and I was a mess. I was a lousy human being. I was a lousy husband. I was a lousy father. It was like, I've said this before, but the vision that comes to me is the black light. You remember the black lights? When I was a kid, everybody had a black light, and you turn on the black light and you think your room's clean, and all of a sudden it's like, Man, there's stuff everywhere. This is what mom's been talking about. And it just, it exposes all the lint and gunk everywhere that it touches. And that's what I felt like this black light of the Lord just was shining on me. And I felt undone, as Paul would say. I felt undone. And I remember thinking, Lord, I'm a wretched man. And in my heart, I'm just thinking, Lord, I'm a wretched man. Why don't you just zap me right here now? And I really felt like the Lord was speaking in my heart that, yep, you really, you are, you're a mess, dude. Did you know that God uses that word, dude? In my version, he does. He said, you're a mess, Hatcher, but I love you, and I died for you. And I remember what Christ has done for me. I was deserving of his wrath, and I received his mercy. Man, church, we need to remember that. And then finally, an authentic Christian remembers who they are in Christ, who we now are, not only what he's done for us, but who we are. Through faith in Christ, there's one thing that God does not remember. Anybody guess what that is? Our sin. He says it really clearly. The writer of Hebrews, he's quoting from Old Testament Jeremiah, and he says, God says, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. God remembers his covenant with us, but he doesn't remember our sin through Christ. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. He sees us as he sees Christ. There's a great song, and Terry reminded me of the author. I forgot in the early service. There's a great song. It's an old song, but it's called What Sin? Morgan Cryer is if you want to look it up, just YouTube it and listen to it. But in this song, he's confessing to God. It's like, man, God, I'm a mess. I've got this sin and I've got that sin. And he's like, you know, confessing all these sins. And God's response is, what sin? I don't see any sin. I see you clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Your sins are as far as the east is from the west. But the problem is, we have an enemy that keeps wanting to try to take us back and remind us of who we were outside of Christ. Because, quite frankly, none of us are a finished product. The Lord is still working on me. I would imagine he's probably still working on you. Listen to Psalms 103, great psalm. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. That's who you are in Christ, church. 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In him we might become the righteousness of God. All of you, Galatians tells us, all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Church, we must remember who we are outside of Christ. We must remember what Christ has done for us, and then we must remember who we are in Christ, that we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I love that, the visual of that, that this robe of righteousness is placed on our shoulders. And when God looks at us, he sees us dressed in that robe of righteousness. And for me, as I remember those things, and I tell people this often that I'm talking with in my office about different things going on in their life, I tell them one of the things, and I don't claim to be a perfect person or a finished product, but one of the things that keeps me on the path is remembering. I remember sin destroys. Did you know that? sin destroys. Nothing, no matter what sin is in your life right now, I promise you, whatever it is, it's not going to end well. But Christ saves. Christ clothes us in His righteousness. And so no matter what we face, no matter what's coming our way, God is with us. He doesn't see our sin. He sees us as He sees Christ. I want to invite you to just bow your heads with me. Father, we are humbled that through Christ you look right past our sin. And Father, I'm reminded that you see us with spiritual eyes and our flesh is still trying to catch up with the Spirit. Father, would you refine us and would you mold us in the flesh to match what you see in the Spirit? We thank you for new creation. That you are compassionate and gracious. That you've cast our sin from the east to the west. And that, Father, help us remember who you are and who you have caused us to be through Christ. We love you, Lord. We are unworthy to even speak your name. But somehow you have found it in your heart to love us. As Carlene told the children this morning, that you have loved the whole world, each one of us. And you've proved it by your Son Jesus. We love you and we praise you for all of it. In the mighty, powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we close with this song, I want to tell you that we're going to do a baptism. I'll give you more details about that in just a moment. As we can finish this song, we will do a baptism and we'll celebrate that together. I hope you will stay for that. If you do not know this Jesus that I'm talking about, don't leave this place today without talking to me about that. He knows you. He loves you. Rise if you're able.
There's a name that levels mountains, carves out highways through the sea. I've seen its power unravel battles right in front of me. There's a faith stands defiant. Sends Goliath to his knees. I've seen as praise unraveled shackles right off my feet. That's the power of your name. Just a unafraid, the kind. seated.
Before I get Michael to come out, let me say that Billy has graciously offered to watch all the children until about 3 this afternoon. So, no, after the service, if you'll come pick your children up, Carlene would appreciate that. All right, Michael, come in here, buddy. Watch your step. Get slippery. This is Michael Wilkins, and I'm going to ask your family and crew to come on up. Don't sit yet. We've got some questions to go over first. Michael and Stephanie married about a week and a half ago. Woo-hoo! So this has been a big couple of weeks. Michael and I have been trying to get together. He's moved here from Oklahoma, and we've been in his short visits for the last few months. We've been trying to get together to get this done. But we finally got that done this week. So y'all, there's another camera. Y'all scrunch right up there. You can see through the camera. There we go. So, Michael, I ask you now those questions we talked about, that we're all sinners. Do you confess that you are a sinner? Amen. And do you wish for Jesus to forgive you of your sin? And you want him to be your Lord and your Savior and live in your heart? Amen. You want to be baptized in that faith today? Yes, sir. All right. If you will sit right there. Hold your nose. I will, yeah. Michael, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Stay right there. All right. Did you know what Scripture tells us, that not only are they rejoicing, but the angels in heaven are rejoicing right now at this very moment? So if y'all can grab a hand to him or whoever's in front of you, I want to pray. We talked about the Holy Spirit, Michael, coming to live inside of you. I want to pray over you for that. Lord, thank you, God, for Jesus. I thank you that you have said yes to Michael and he has said yes to you. Lord, I pray that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit from the top of his head to the tips of his toes, that he would ooze Jesus everywhere he goes. God, that he would be a godly man, that he would be a godly husband. I pray blessings on him. I pray for financial and job blessings for him, God, as he's moving into a new community. Lord, give him favor. Bless his family. Bless his friends. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Okay, church, hear this benediction. If you'll rise, if you're able. Go and remember what Christ has done for you and who you are in Christ, and go and tell someone in Jesus' name. Amen.
Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do 4 things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.